This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And guess what? I found one half of Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello has made it to Baton Rouge, and he is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Hello, Chris. How was your flight?
The flight was good. Here was the surprise.
Okay.
The drive from the airport, which I assume is Baton Rouge International.
It's actually Baton Rouge Metro Airport.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Baton Rouge Metro Airport.
Yes, yes.
Here to the lovely hotel. Bumper to bumper traffic.
What?
I thought I was in downtown L.A.
What?
I know. It was the most surprising thing I've ever seen. We have three buses for this trip. I thought maybe I got the note yesterday that we had two buses, but we don't have two. We have three buses. I've been relegated to bus number three.
Oh, wait, hold on. Before you go any further, because the Kim Villalobos and Megan Fiso, is it Fiso or Fiso?
Fiso.
Gosh, I said it wrong either way I said it.
Yeah, but you had it wrong both ways.
Anyway, they were, before we went on the air, revealed to them that they were not going to be with you on the bus, and they lost their mind. They were like, we are going to change this, we're going to go, and we're going to make sure you're on that bus with us. Doesn't sound like they got that done.
They didn't get it done, no. I went, because I found out last night or two nights ago that I'd be on bus number two, instead of the team bus, because there's so many, people on this trip, which is fine. But I did tell Kim and Megan that yesterday, and they were quite upset because I sit across from them normally on the bus. But anyway, not only did they not get me on bus number one, Scraby, but as I said, I was relegated from two all the way down to bus three. So that shows you, the level of where I'm at on this trip. But it's okay. The Aztec pep band and cheerleaders, they got bus two. The players and coaches and family, a lot of family. It's really nice, actually, of San Diego State. They let a lot of the staff, trainers and, team doctors and assistant coaches and stuff brought their, families with them on this trip. And I think that's a nice thing for San Diego State to do, You get to this point and let everybody kind of get involved and have some fun with it. So we're here. We're excited. We've taken over the Crown Plaza Hotel here in Baton Rouge. And, we made the trip. So I think ESPN ought to at least increase our odds of winning from 1% at least to 2% since we have arrived in town. We are here.
You are there. You're ready to go. I love it.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe that there was traffic in Baton Rouge.
I couldn't either. Yeah, not expecting that. Not expecting that.
There's going to be people that are like, why, Scraby? Why didn't you expect traffic in Baton Rouge? Is it because you don't like Baton Rouge?
Yes, we don't like Baton Rouge. That's exactly why we didn't expect traffic.
Yep.
That's the silliest question or point I've ever heard, but you're right. Somebody will make it.
Someone will make it, Chris. Someone
will make it. Yes,
I'm trying to dial up Tony right now.
Okay.
Because he's on, and then we're going to do Chris versus the fans, I think, a little bit later. Just because you just got to the show, we have Tony for a couple more segments. Tony, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Ah, there we go. How are you
Woo-hoo!
Doing? Yes, we got it. We're in three different locations. We got one person in Peoria. We got one person in San Diego. We got one person in Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge.
I don't know that you have to. I don't know that you're legally required to pronounce it that way.
I just have to. Isn't it? Isn't Baton Rouge like? Isn't it Red Stick or something?
Don't
Oh, you mean like for Red Stick?
Yeah, I'm going to see what Baton Rouge means.
I know I'm pretty sure the rouge is red, but the baton, I don't know.
Yeah,
Red Stick.
Red Stick. Red French Stick. For red
okay.
Stick.
There you go.
All right, there you go.
It is the capital city of Louisiana, so let's give it that.
All right, I got a couple things.
Ooh.
Scrape it. Have we already done our list? Or
yes.
2026?
Yes.
We didn't even think about my man, Jose Iglesias. We didn't even mention him.
Oh, duh.
So that's another
one. Oh, you did your 26-man roster today, huh?
We did a construction of a kind of a 26,
yeah.
But he should be on there, I'm thinking.
I haven't seen him at all in spring training. That's why I keep forgetting about him.
Yeah, I think he should be in there.
Okay.
So this is going to be.
So
tough.
If he's in there, then somebody else you put on has to come off.
Right. Right. Yeah. No. Here's the deal. I mean, Mike Shield talked about this a few minutes ago when I was listening to a scrum. He knew the job was difficult before. But he didn't have the knowledge of who had options, who doesn't have options, and so he was kind of brought in on that today, and I think he came away thinking like, wow, this is even tougher than I initially thought it's going to be. You know, the staff is saying this is the best position player competition that they've ever had here in camp, and so there's going to be some tough ones, man. There's going to be some tough ones. That you know, are just going to be tough. I don't know of a better way to.
They're not going to be able to get it. There's only so many spots. You know, it's interesting. The two names.
Can I stop you, Chris, and update you on something real quick before you go forward? Just so you know where the Padres are. Gavin Sheets has been put on the 40-man roster, not on like the opening day roster, but he's on the 40-man now.
Now, Schulte wasn't ready to commit to him being a 26, but I mean, listen, if you go from non-roster to all of a sudden they're putting you on a 40-man, all signs are pointing to that you're going to be on that 26. Here's the other thing to keep in mind. I gather, based on what we heard today, Darvish threw today. He still is playing catch. Typically, you get shut down. So I think he's a legitimate question mark. Who I don't think is a legitimate question mark at this point is Waldron. He is in rest mode right now. He's not throwing a baseball right now. So the oblique is enough for him not to be doing any baseball activity. That's not the same for Darvish. So I don't know if we can put those two in the same category. My guess is Waldron's certainly going to start on an IL type situation. That's my guess.
And so you're really looking at If Darvish is part of the opening day rotation, you're still only looking at one open spot. But I believe there's going to be two because I think that they're going to at least ease it in with Darvish. So I think Kyle Hart and
Akolik both
have a really good chance to make it. You know,
they both were on ours, and I think you also have to keep in mind that even when the 27th rolls around, and I'm talking about of March first opening day. These starting pitchers aren't going to be built up to where they need to be yet. So you're going to have long relief regardless of whether you have a five-man rotation. So my guess is it's probably going to see 13 pitchers, you know.
For sure.
So
I think it'll be 13 and 13, and that's why, you know, if you include two catchers, I mean, you know you got to have two catchers.
Right.
So there are three spots left out there. You know, and I mean, Connor Joe, Gavin Sheets, Iglesias, Gurriel, Eggy, and I was going to bring this up, guys. The two hottest names at the beginning of spring training were Tirso Ornelas and Oscar Gonzalez. They're still around, are they not?
The cold part is Oscar Gonzalez, unlike Tirso, is still hitting.
He
never actually stopped hitting. He might have had a day or two where he went hitless, but for the most part he is hit and he leads his team. He leads the camp in hits. He's up there in average. So there's gonna be some tough hits. Now I do believe Gonzalez has options, so you know there's that. This is a robust conversation for sure. I do have something else I want to bring up, and I think it deserves mention, and I think we should be talking about this a lot more. As we enter this 2025 season, Manny Machado is headed for some pretty big milestones, and I don't know that we're talking about it nearly enough. And I think, you know, in some ways we may have been spoiled in the 90s getting to see some of the things we got, but big number. I can't stress that enough. That's a big deal. 350 homers is a big deal. He is well on his way. I mean, the 350 is going to happen quick. 2,000 is going to happen relatively quick in this season. So, you know, we should be talking about this milestone because this puts Manny, remember, he got to 1,500 2 years ago. So it took him two more years to get to 2,000.
Yeah.
It's going to take him two more. So if we're going by that math, he's 4 years away from perhaps getting four healthy seasons away from perhaps getting to 3,000. So, I mean, we should all be, like, paying a lot closer attention to that. I talked to Manny about it today because it dawned on me that one of the posts came up today, and it irritated me. It was on MLB, actually. And they were talking about the milestones of guys who were coming up this year, and Manny was nowhere to be found on there. And so it got me kind of going down a rabbit hole, and I was asking. I remember how excited my dad was in 93, when he got to 2,000.
And it was the same date that he ended up getting 3,000.
Right, it was on my grandmother's birthday, and
crazy.
I brought it up because I wanted to know how he was feeling. Manny is very reserved. He doesn't really let you in like that a lot of times. But he stressed to me that it's a number that he has been paying close attention to. So I just want to put that on everybody's radar, man. 2,000 hits, 350 homers. He's going to do it in a Padre uniform. We all should be, blowing this up and getting ready to celebrate it is what we should be doing.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, you've got – oh, no. I just got my – club sandwich, guys.
Oh, okay.
Hate to interrupt.
Go ahead and get your club sandwich, dog.
Yeah, let's listen.
We'll wait for you. Thank you. All right. I'm all set.
Ask now him if they want to be on the radio.
No, he's gone.
Oh.
I'm so happy, though, right now, guys. Now, I mean, I'm settled in. Tony, you know this feeling, man.
Yes, I do.
You settle in your hotel room. You got everything put away. You got the TV going. You got your show. Now your food arrives.
Oh, now, I don't have OCD, so I don't necessarily need to put your stuff away part. But getting into the hotel and settling in and getting some food, I'm with you on that one.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. But
yeah, I don't know that my stuff actually gets put away, though.
Can I see the sandwich? Can I see the sandwich? I want to see
it. Get out of here, Scraby.
No, let me look at it.
You're not going to see the sandwich.
Fine.
No. But, hey, look, Manny's going to get, you're right, Tony, his eighth home run will be 350. His 51st RBI will be 1,100.
Yeah.
And then he needs 100 hits for 2,000. So you're right, he's going to do all of it this year. And, you know, we're looking at another Padre Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And we haven't, who's the last one? Jake? Is Jake in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he's in there. He's in there.
Jake Peavy.
I think he's the most recent one.
He's the most recent one. So, and now he's working for the organization. I saw that today come down. So, but yeah, you got Trevor, you got Jake, you got, you know, your dad, Dave Winfield, you know, Randy Jones. I mean, it's not a long list of Hall of Famers that have really been, you know, Padres for most of their career. So it's something
I just thought, is this any something that, you know, I think people are aware of it, but I just feel like there's not enough conversation around it that there should be. And when I saw that on Instagram today, it bothered me a little bit. So I'm gonna put it out at least in our folks' ears so that they can blow it up the way it should be.
Well, here's what you and Jesse ought to really be focusing on, Tony. His first stolen base of the year will be his 100th. So that's a milestone that I'm sure he can't wait to reach.
I think he also mentioned to me, he said, I can't remember the number, but he's close to 20 triples. I thought that was funny.
He's got 18. He needs two triples if that's important to him. He needs two triples.
He said, my first hit was a triple. I was like, you probably thought you were going to have much more at that point, huh?
Yeah,
but nonetheless, this dude is honing in on some big time stuff.
Some good stuff. And tell him good luck with the triple, Tony. He hasn't had one in 3 years.
It's been a little bit, huh?
He's been a little lax in the triple department. You know, the other thing that, and you bring Manny up, so I'm going to have to bring it up. 2015 is now 9 seasons ago, and that's the last time he won the Gold Glove. And I know Arenado, we can argue till you're blue in the face, but somebody as amazing as Machado not winning a Gold Glove for 9 years is just boggles my mind. It just does. So I'm going to keep pushing him for one of those, at least one more while he's, you know, a Padre. Because I've never, there's no other player on the team, Tony, that I want to see the ball hit to, you know, as much as Manny. Because you know he's going to do something awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, all right. Just me.
Scraby, let's go to break so I can start eating the sandwich.
Well, can you show me the sandwich first?
Chris is salivating right now, waiting to bite into this sandwich.
I'm going to watch this in the break with, like, I'm just going to be staring at Chris in the camera. All right, we're going to do
off camera.
Chris versus the fans, I believe, a little bit later. But when we get back, we got traffic and then more from Gwen and Chris on the other side of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Back here in the Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan. Here with my guys, Tony Gwynn Jr. and Chris Ello. Tony is going to be calling a game tonight between the Rangers and the Padres at the Peoria Sports Complex. And Chris is going to be calling a game on Saturday night between the Aztecs women's basketball team and LSU. Have you found Kim Mulkey yet, Chris?
No, but the first commercial when I came into my room on the hotel TV was their All-American guard, Flau J. Johnson, trying to sell me some Gatorade, so that was like the first thing I saw when I got in. I mean, this LSU team is they have two All-Americans. On one team, so it's going to be a great challenge. And I talked to Justin Hudson, Stacy's husband. Everybody knows Justin when he was with the men's team. He's a defensive guru, right? This guy lives and breathes and coaches defense. So I asked him, I said, have you come up with anything, you know, defensively for LSU? And he just looked at me and he said, they're good. That's all he said. So I don't know.
I need you. I'm gonna need you to give me an autograph from the legend. I think that's if you can pull it off. I'm just saying.
For who? Kim Mulkey?
Yeah, Kim Mulkey.
Oh.
Wow.
You think you want to do that, Chris? While you're at it, get me an autograph, too. Yeah,
no, I'm done, Chris. I wouldn't put you in firing range like that. I mean, you might.
Do you hear the fear in his voice?
Right now? I know. I got a little scared like there.
He goes, it
did seem like there was some fear. Like that made me think twice about it. I was
pretty
like,
sure
maybe
I heard a gulp, too.
Does that mean I have to speak to her? That
yeah,
could be.
It does.
Yeah. No, I'm figuring by the time game time comes around, Tony, she and I will probably be best pals. So, you know, I'll be more than happy if I can do it. We did, by the way, ask, Scraby sent down a request to the LSU Media Relations Department about getting her on our show, talk about the game. And what was the response, Scraby?
Oh,
crickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah. I mean, look, this is not Kim Mulkey's fault because she doesn't know even that we requested it.
I bet she has no idea. We requested it.
Exactly. So you can't blame her. But I just think that's rude. You know we're playing. San Diego State is coming down there. I know you don't respect San Diego State at all. But, you know, we can ask to do an interview with the coach ahead of the game. And you should at least get back and say, hey, you know, we can't make her available or she's too busy. I just think it's kind of rude of LSU. It's okay. I'm trying to build up a little more hatred for them.
I was about to say, she might be kind of busy. She is getting her team ready for her.
I understand somewhat what Chris is saying, but it's pretty common practice nowadays. If you don't want to talk to someone, you're just not going to respond.
You just ghost them completely?
Otherwise, you got to come up with like a reason why you don't want to do it.
And then you're lying, most likely.
You're lying now, so you just don't answer.
That's even if they're like going to be watching TV on the couch, they'll be like, I got some flight I got to be on.
Right. That makes you sound worse, actually, when you start coming up with the excuses. So maybe
I think if I see Kim Mulkey, I know they're having a media day tomorrow. for both teams, media available. Actually, there's four teams here because there's another game. I think Florida State's playing somebody in the first game. But so it's media day tomorrow. I'm hoping, you know, I'll run into Kim Mulkey. My plan is to go right up to her and go, I can't believe you ghosted us here in San Diego when we asked for an interview.
That's a bad move, Chris.
And by the way, my partner on my show is Tony Gwynn Jr. Can we get an autograph? I think that's the perfect way to go about it, guys.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
I think if you drop Tony's name, you are definitely getting an autograph, Chris.
That won't hurt.
Yeah, I mean, she might not know who that is. You know, there is a good amount of people that had never heard of that guy. Just so you know.
You know what's sad is that...
I know that's hard to believe in San Diego, but it's true, trust me.
You know what's sad is I went into my mom's classroom. She's got like fourth and fifth graders, and I asked, do you guys know who Tony Gwynn is? And they said no. And I was like, where are your parents? And why are they not teaching you about Padres history?
Where are your parents?
Wait, fifth grade? What is that? That's not even... Is that like 10?
That's 9 or 10 years old, yeah.
No, they're like 11 or 12. Yeah, so they were like 2 when my dad like played his last game. You know what I'm saying?
When was the last game? What year?
2001.
Oh, they were...
No, they weren't even... Excuse me. No, they weren't even alive.
Yeah, they weren't even close to being alive.
No, the kids that are in fifth grade, their parents were 2 years old when your dad played his last game.
Right.
Look, time is going by very quickly, guys. Let me tell you.
It really is.
So...
March Madness, Chris. My bracket is busted. Louisville lost. I did pick McNeese. Now, Tony, McNeese almost coughed up that 20-something point lead.
They hung on, though.
They did hang on. Georgia was down, Chris, at one point, 30-5. They ended up losing.
I watched the beginning of that game with Ben Pearson, who's our media relations guy. And I might have mentioned this yesterday. Ben went to Gonzaga, so he is a major crazy fan. So we were watching together. And when Gonzaga got ahead, it was so funny. They got ahead 3-0, and Georgia turned the ball over on the first two possessions. I turned to Ben. I said, this game's over. And he's like, yeah, right. And then it was 27-3. So it was kind of over quick. Bad performance by Georgia. But you know what? I love when the SEC loses, guys. One of my goals in this tournament is for the SEC to go like 2-12 in the first round, since you know they're supposed to be the greatest thing and nobody can beat them. I don't want them to win.
Well, I guess I'm not really tripping about it as much in basketball because this is kind of a new thing for them in basketball. They weren't regarded like this for a while, so I can live with them having a good year this season. Although the Georgia one then doesn't make your confidence look as good as it is top to bottom as it was going into this bad boy.
Yeah, well, that's what you get for letting your 13th place team into the tournament.
As soon as I saw the score when I walked in here, and it was worse than 30-5, I immediately poked my head out and I yelled, Adam, what happened to your team? And he came running in and he said, man, this is a disaster.
It was disastrous for Georgia. But, we got UC San Diego playing tonight at 7 against Michigan. So, you know, good luck to the Tritons. I have to kind of bow my head. And, you know, the Aztecs men are out. But I think we got to, you know, cheer for these guys. It's their first year ever of it, you know, eligible at Division I. And, I mean, to be, you know, have qualified for the tournament. And the more you read about this team, Tony, you kind of got to root for them. All of these players were transfers to UCSD from Division II schools. So what does that tell you? It tells you that none of these guys were recruited by a single Division I school to play basketball. And now here they all are in the tournament trying to beat Michigan tonight. I think it's a great story if they're able to pull it off. So I like stuff like that, even if it's not the Aztecs. Got to be an equal opportunity.
I agree.
Cheer,
I agree.
Unfortunately,
now that my Aztecs are out, I can fully dive into the Tritons.
That's right.
So, and there's no USD, so you don't have to worry about that. Like, would that really put you in a dilemma, Tony? If USD was like the only team left in the tournament,
I don't think it would put him in a dilemma. He wouldn't root for him at all.
Oh, my God. My partners know me way too well.
At least Chris
barely let us interview Connor Joe the other day.
That's true.
Connor's my man, though. He's a Powegian first. I told
that's
you.
That's right.
That takes precedent over him being a Torero.
All right.
I like Connor.
We are going to head to break. Other side, Big Five. Tony is going to be back on the radio with all of you around 6:30. Thank you, Tony. And we'll go to break.
Yes,
we'll
sir.
Talk about the Big Five on the other side. 97.3 The Fan.
Ben and Woods on The Fan.
Don't miss all of the fun tomorrow with our station, because we're going to be down at Dave and Buster's from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow, and I am looking forward to it. Chris is going to join us from Baton Rouge, and I can't say it any other way.
By tomorrow, you might actually pronounce it without all of the bells and whistles.
I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it, but I will pronounce it.
Did I say pronounce? Yeah, I think
you
did
say pronounce. But yeah. We do have a ton going on tomorrow down at Dave and Buster's in Mission Valley, and I know that the morning show has a breakfast burrito bar. They also have drink specials on mimosas, Bloody Marys, and beer throughout the day. A basketball shooting competition, hourly raffle giveaways. Join us at Dave and Buster's at 2931 Camino del Rio North tomorrow for a full day of fun with your favorite fan talk shows. So
all you have to do is get yourself to the where the 8 freeway and the 805 freeway intersect.
And then just drive off the cliff, and then you'll be in the parking lot.
Yeah, jump off the railing there, and Dave and Buster's is right there.
You know, there was a car years ago, I think, that ended up falling onto the falling over the overpass.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was terrifying, because every time I go over that overpass, I get a little nervous in that car.
That was a little terrifying.
Had it happen.
For sure. Yeah. Real quick, there's 3 games right now in the March Madness going on, and all 3 of them are featuring SEC teams, so I'm rooting very hard against, I'm trying to follow all 3 games at once. But Tennessee is leading at halftime over Wofford.
Wofford?
Good old Wofford.
Where is Wofford?
That's a good question that I don't know the answer
to. Let me figure it out.
Yeah, I'm going to say North Carolina, because a lot of that stuff's
in North Carolina. Seem like that. It does seem like that.
Yeah, 36-27.
South Carolina, you're close.
South Carolina.
Spartansburg.
One of those Carolinas, yeah. Kansas is leading the Sauce, Arkansas, 25 first half. And Texas A&M's off to a good start against Yale, 19-9. But so far, Scraby, the mighty SEC is 1-2 in the tournament. So, you know, if you don't have a dog in the fight, then root against the SEC. That's the way to go, I say.
Yeah.
In the tournament.
I agree.
You get 14 teams. You know how many teams are actually in the SEC?
18? I don't know.
16.
Okay.
So 14 of the 16 made the tournament.
Which 2 were the teams that didn't?
LSU, by the way, where I am, yeah. Right? LSU, their men's team was terrible. And South Carolina, the only 2.
Man, what's wrong
but
with
But what's
you
the
guys?
Point of even having a league if everyone makes the tournament?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's kind of silly.
It is very silly.
With all due respect to Texas and Oklahoma and Georgia and all these teams that finished 12th, 13th, 14th place, it's, you know, that's silly. Anyway, they don't ask me, Scrape. They just make the rules and go ahead without me.
They don't ask me.
It would be a much simpler world if you just checked with me first.
Yeah, it would be. Same with me. If you just want to check it with me, too, it would be great.
One of the 2 of us, we'll keep things straight.
Yeah, but the North Carolina guy, you know, his bonus had nothing to do with North Carolina getting into the tournament.
$1 million. I think Ziegler said it was $670,000.
Yeah, it's less, yeah.
But anyway, it was still a lot. $750,000, you know, for his team to make the tournament. And then they kept showing him the other night, sitting on the sidelines during the Aztec game, and I must say he looked very satisfied over there with all the money that he just made.
Yeah, he did look really satisfied. Now I can picture his face, his punchable face.
Yes, I would. I'll be honest with you, Scraby. I don't root for politicians very often. I really don't. But I'd like to see the West Virginia governor come out on top somehow on this. I don't know what he's going to do, but
I don't think there's anything he can do.
Well, maybe he can uncover the fact that there really was not, it was not on the up and up. And then he could sue for damages, and the North Carolina AD would have to pay twice of his $1 million bonus to the state of West Virginia for reparations.
I'm all for it.
I would, It, you know what? If it came into my courtroom, that would be my ruling.
And I also love it, and I can't get this out of my head, but the whole argument that, hey, I leave the room. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, is that supposed to make me feel like everything's all good now? You left the room. Okay. Did you put your... Yeah, you, I don't... It, that, yeah. That really bothers me.
I'm sure on your way out the door, you put in a good word for West Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. You know? Like, you know that West Virginia team, they're really good.
Yeah, before I leave the room, please consider West Virginia over my North Carolina team.
But really pick North Carolina. Okay, I'm out of the room. I'm out of the
room. I'm out of the room.
I'm out of the room. Everybody go ahead. Do your business.
Wait, excuse me, sir. Did you take a glass with you so you can listen up against the wall?
He's got like a can with a string under the door so he can hear it.
He's totally into it.
All right. We're going to get some traffic, and then we have the big five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's get right into it. We have no time to waste.
Number five.
And someone that we talked about in the offseason a lot about joining the... What?
I'm just laughing at something, but I don't want to... I'll get to it in the next segment.
All right.
It's funny to me.
Okay.
So,
Alex Verdugo is someone that we talked about in the offseason. He was, up until a couple days ago, he was still on the market. And he has been signed by the Atlanta Braves for $1.5 million for one season.
Interesting.
He's going to start with AAA Gwinnett, and he's going to go from there. Now, he's coming off of a season where he went to the World Series with the Yankees. I don't necessarily
think he made the final out of the World Series, if I'm not mistaken.
He might have. Yeah, that's why teams don't want him. He's the final out guy.
He ended the season.
Yeah,
come on.
We don't want that guy. He ended the season. No, yeah. I. What is this? Okay, here's the question, Chris. What does this tell you about the Padres?
Nothing. Why, you think they should have signed him for $1 million or $1.5 million and put him in the minor leagues?
Here's what it tells me about the Padres. It tells me that they're very happy with the group that they have, because Alex Verdugo is 28 years old. He's not like 35, 36. I still think he's got something there. Now, is he the greatest player in the world? No. But it tells me that the Padres aren't looking elsewhere right now. They feel like they have a lot of options in-house.
I don't know that they can bring anybody else in. We just talked about it in the last half hour. I mean, they've got all these guys for four spots or three spots. They're going to have to figure it out. Now, I know that as of last Monday, Scraby, or last Friday, you were all about, no Jason Hayward. But now that you and Jason Hayward are best friends, I think you're kind of rooting more for Jason Hayward, and you're actually happy he's here.
Here's the deal with that, Chris. Because you are well within your right to bring that up.
Yeah.
I actually have just accepted it because I know it's going to happen. It doesn't hurt that he's a great guy, though. It doesn't hurt. If he was like a mean guy and he was mean mugging us all the time, then it wouldn't hurt as bad. But, I'm hoping for Jason Hayward to do well. I'm not quite sure what we're going to get, is what I'm saying.
If nothing else, if Jason Hayward is a complete flame out, we can at least say that he answered a question three on Chris versus the Fan.
We should have qualified him for... Oh, you did offer him Atlantis, and he kept walking.
He kept walking. I offered him the Atlantis.
You did.
Qualification.
All right.
Number four.
On the Dan Le Batard show recently, he made a really interesting point about the future of live sports. He said, quote, "I will keep saying to you guys that the future of sports doesn't require fans to be in attendance. And it doesn't even require fans to be watching on television. It's just all programming, and the television streamers need the programming. Sports is one of the few places where people tune in at the appointed time. There's so few of those right now," end quote. I'm at first, where do you think ticket sales rank in a sports organization's efforts? Now, the reason they brought this up was because of the Unrivaled League. they had 850 people in the audience. And so they were saying, can this be sustainable if they only have 850 fans? And Dan Le Batard said, yeah, because the TV networks will pay you the money to make it sustainable. I think ticket sales rank in a sports, it all has to do with the sport. Baseball, I've read that a lot of their money comes from ticket sales, especially with the TV situation in baseball right now not being great, not paying a lot of money to some teams. I think for baseball, it's very important. For other sports, it's probably not as important to them to get all of their seats filled. Chris, what do you think?
I don't know how to answer it from the organization's point of view, but I can say that it is going to be a tremendous change, because every organization that I've ever worked for, it all revolves around ticket sales. That's it. That's all they care about. So it's going to be interesting to see if teams go in a different direction to try and make more money with, you know, revenue coming from other places. But here's the real question. Is the consumer still going to want to buy tickets? Because now you can watch the game on your phone, right? And yep. I don't mean the video. I mean just getting score updates and then a bet and a gambling site that has you wager on something while the game is going on. You don't even have to watch it. They'll tell you whether you won or lost, and then you can gamble again.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that it's, because look at the major motion pictures. Attendance at theaters is so far down from where it used to be.
It's true.
There's so many other places to watch movies, but there's still enough people that want the experience of seeing a movie in a theater. And I think that we'll always want that experience of seeing sporting events live. So I think we're okay.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, like, I wanted to go to the games, and I still want to go to the games. Because when you go to the games, it really tells you how good these guys are at their sports when you're watching it and you're watching professionals up close and personal. It was interesting, though, because it does make a little bit of sense that sometimes ticket sales might not be their number one revenue stream. Yeah, revenue stream. Anyway, let's move on fast before I correct myself.
Number three.
Now, Bronny James did a rare sit-down interview with The Athletic, and he addressed all of the criticism that has come his way since being drafted by the Lakers. He said in The Athletic, quote, "My first thought about everything is I always try to just let it go through one ear and out the other, put my head down and come to work and be positive every day. But sometimes it fuels me a little bit. I see everything that people are saying, and people think like I'm a bleeping robot, like I don't have any feelings or emotions, but I just take that and use it as fuel, for me to go out, wake up every day, and get to the gym early, blah, 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 blah."
Okay.
So.
Blah, 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 blah.
My question to you, Chris. Will Bronny ever be his own man?
I don't think he can.
It's hard.
I think he's so overshadowed by LeBron James, Dad LeBron. I don't think LeBron or Bronny is ever going to be anything but... I mean, here's what I'm saying. He's going to have to be very, like, three times or five times better at basketball than he is now.
Or even match him, really.
Right. Well, I don't think he has to match LeBron. But he's
saying right now. I thought you meant his dad. Okay, I get what you're saying.
No, I'm saying that Bronny has to become five times better than he is right now.
Yes, yes, okay.
In order to start cutting his own path. And that's, maybe it's unfair, but you know what? Maybe it's also unfair that you got a chance in the NBA when other people never would have. So it's hard for me to feel too sorry for him. He's got an opportunity that a lot of people would die for. And I just don't know if he's going to have enough skill to make it work. You know, but he can get better. So, but he's going to have to get a lot better before we start, you know, stop comparing him to his dad, which is impossible for him to live up to.
Yeah, Tony's talked about this to us before. And, you know, it was really hard for him to get out of his dad's shadow. But he didn't really want to be out of his dad's shadow because, you know, his dad... and him had a great relationship. Bronny and LeBron seem like they have a great relationship. I just think that when you have a dad who is going to go down as probably the best player in NBA history, it's going to be really hard for anyone to never mention your name and not connect it to your dad?
Well, I think Anthony, our Anthony.
Yes.
I think he's a, and he's not here, so
I
maybe I can, you know, say some things, but I just think he's a special guy.
Anthony. I do too.
And he, because of his amazing personality, which I think he got a lot from his dad and his mom raising him, but he lightens up a room by himself. And I'm talking about our Tony.
Yes.
So I think he has carved his own path.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he also played 8 years in the majors.
That's another point.
He also was not drafted onto his dad's team by his dad.
That's a really good point.
He made it to the majors on his own accord. His dad rooted for him. His dad helped him. His dad coached him. But Tony made it on his own. A lot of people don't think Bronny did. So I think there's that difference.
Yeah, that's a good point you make about Tony, because people ask me whenever I go on these nepotism rants, they say, well, you work with the guy who had, you know, nepotism. And I'm like, no, Tony, in sports, you do not get a starting position or get put on a major league roster because your dad's name is Tony Gwynn. You actually have to be good. You have to be able to help the team.
Well, he started with the Brewers. I mean, that's, you know, he got the triple that cost the Padres a playoff. I mean, what else do you want? He did his own thing.
He did. All right. We have two more to go. I hate when we carry over the big five.
Well, we got to do Chris versus the fans, too. 5 o'clock hour.
All right. You know what? Chris versus the fans next. 833-288-0973. We're kicking off the happy hour with it on 97.3 The Fan.